Exodus 30, verses 34 to 38. Then the Lord said to Moses, take fragrant spices, gum resin, onycha, galbanum, and pure frankincense, all in equal amounts, and make a fragrant blend of incense, the work of a perfumer. It is to be salted and pure and sacred. Grind some of it to powder and place it in front of the Ark of the Covenant law in the tent of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. Do not make any incense with this formula for yourselves. Consider it holy to the Lord. Whoever makes incense like it to enjoy its fragrance must be cut off from the people. And Arlene now is going to come up for prayers.
Good morning, everybody. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and it should be on the overheads, yeah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Here ends the reading.
Hello again. As I said, my name is Ross. I'm the minister here. It's great to see you all. If you're visiting this morning, welcome and Merry Christmas to everyone. It's great to be here this morning. Well, who's opened their Christmas gifts already? There's a few hands up, your own up. Yeah, excellent. Were you happy? Were you delighted? Or were you puzzled? Because you got a questionable gift like this. All right. See, I told you there's a point for wearing this. Now, what can also happen on Christmas morning is that you may receive a gift from someone that you realize that you haven't bought them a gift. Has that ever happened to you? You get received, oh no, I haven't bought them something. It can be embarrassing. So where do you find a last minute gift on Christmas Day? Now, before the panic sets in, I'm here with some last minute gift buying tips. If you were part of the Secret Santa party, you might have got yourself one of these, like I did, right? The trumpet playing Santa or the dancing reindeer. If you got a questionable Secret Santa gift, you could re-gift it today. Or see me after the service and I'll re-gift you my dancing Santa. And then you can re-gift it to someone. They will never know. And you'll be the best person in the world to give someone one of these. Right? You'll be most loved. We fought over this at our... Anyway. But if you're really stuck for a gift, our servos have a whole range of gift cards. Or you can even go online now when you get home and buy some tickets to the movies. And they'll be emailed to you straight away, crisis over. You have a gift to take with you. Although gift cards don't seem to cut it at Christmas anymore, January this year, just after Christmas last year, there's $1.8 billion of unused gift cards in Australia. Seems like they are questionable gifts for some people. Now, or on your way to Christmas lunch, if you want something a little bit more meaningful than a gift card, you might find a chemist that is open because people still need medicine today. But thankfully, they also sell perfume and cologne. They are pretty safe gifts, aren't they? Nice smelling gifts, something that will last. They'll give a fragrance to someone's Christmas day. But whether we're shopping for Christmas gifts at the last minute, or you're a super shopper, you bought all your presents on Black Friday sales, well done. Clap to you. Well done. Unless they haven't arrived, right? My son did that, and it arrived at about 5 o'clock last night. Just made it. Well, then off to the survey for you if you're still waiting for your gifts to arrive. But I think we can all feel a sense of overwhelming sense and pressure to buy the right gift at Christmas, to buy the appropriate gift, and not questionable gifts that end up in the drawer by Boxing Day, ready to be re-gift next year. Which is why we're looking at these questionable gifts the wise men bring to the birth of Jesus on that very first Christmas, of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we can be left asking, what were the wise men thinking? They seem last-minute gifts, don't they? Inappropriate gifts for a baby, maybe even re-gifts. Now, if you were with us at our carols, we looked at gold, a gift fit for a king. There's the picture of baby Jesus lying in a manger, born on that very first Christmas. We hear that he's King Jesus, born King of the Jews. So gold is a very appropriate royal gift for such a baby. Well, at least it's not a choking hazard, right? Logan last Sunday looked at frankincense. It's something like a perfume. But that's a weird and odd present, though, to gift to a baby, unless you bought it for yourself. How many here buy gifts for others that are really for yourself? Come on, let's be honest. I know Shells would love a new golf club. Wouldn't you? Yeah, excellent. We heard that frankincense is an aromatic resin that you can turn into an oil that was burnt by the priests in the Old Testament on the altar. It was part of the sacrifice for the atonement of sin. Atonement just means one with God again. And so the smell of frankincense was an ever-present reminder of being one with God through the sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. But frankincense is a questionable gift for baby Jesus, you would see. But these gifts of gold and frankincense were actually gifts the wise men thought through wisely, for they have significant meaning for Jesus. These were not last-minute ideas, especially when we add myrrh into the mix. See, when we think of myrrh, this is a highly questionable gift for a baby. I think a cactus would have done a better job. But as the wise men come and worship Jesus, as they open up their treasures, we discover they actually thought deeply about these gifts. Even though we might be thinking that myrrh is a questionable gift. Because what is myrrh? What is it about myrrh that is marked out for this baby, the King, the Saviour of the world? Well, myrrh is valuable stuff. It's not possible to be a last-minute gift. It's not a gift card nor a re-gift. It's in fact a very wise gift that goes well with the other two gifts of gold and frankincense. See, myrrh is a precious fragrance, like the fragrance that we use in our deodorants and perfumes, and the other things that we want to make that we want to, for them to smell nice. But for the Jews, for Israel, this was a very special fragrance. So it goes right back to their history in the time of Exodus under Moses, and they built the mobile temple, the tabernacle. That's the meeting place with God. And see, myrrh was used as a special fragrance to splash or anoint over everything. They splashed it over the tent. They splashed it over the Ark of the Covenant. They splashed it over the altar that was covered in gold, where the frankincense was burning. They even splashed it on the priests. See, it was a symbolic way in their culture of saying that this place is really special. This place is significant and hugely important. And all the things that happen in this place are really special and important. So much so that in their laws it says that this particular fragrance of myrrh couldn't be used for any ordinary thing. Certainly not as a personal deodorant or perfume. It could be only used in a special way in the temple. And so whilst myrrh is a fragrance for God's people, it stood for the sacred. It stood for what was holy, because the temple and everything that occurred there was holy ground because of the presence of God who is holy. And when you think about it as a gift that the wise men give to Jesus at his birth, that's entirely appropriate then, isn't it? Because so many things that are said about Jesus before and at his birth mark him out as someone special, as someone holy. In Matthew chapter 1, just before our reading, it says the Virgin Mary will give birth to a son and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so these wise men, they know this from the beginning as they choose these three gifts, chosen because of what they say about Jesus, King of the Jews, the Holy One who will save us from our sins because he is God with us. Now, there's something else that's strange about the gift of myrrh. The only other place in the story of Jesus, which Christina pointed out to us, where myrrh is mentioned, other than here at his birth, is at his death. Now, I admit that sounds a bit grim to be speaking about on Christmas Day, but I just want to look at that for a moment. As Jesus is hanging on the cross, he's offered a gift, so to speak. He's offered myrrh mixed with wine. But why is he offered this? See, one of the things that we know about myrrh, it used to be, in those days, used as a painkiller. But it wasn't only just used as a painkiller. We're told when Jesus died, his body was taken off the cross by Joseph and Nicodemus. And myrrh was one of the spices that they used to anoint his body. Jesus, the King of the Jews, God with us, the Holy God. Myrrh is a hugely significant gift. And so in that sense, we might say myrrh is a re-gift. After all, it was given at Jesus' birth, and here it's re-gifted in a way at his death. But what this reminds us is, in fact, that all these three gifts need to be put together to get a full picture of who Jesus is, and why he's come, and why he himself is the greatest gift you'll ever receive. See, as we heard in our reading from Exodus 30, where these three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, first appear, symbolizing the holy God with his people, and how they are to approach him in worship as the wise men do, it follows the great rescue by God of his people, who are captives and slaves and suffering under the oppressive rule of Pharaoh. See, these three gifts are used to remind people of who God is and what he's done for them in rescuing them from slavery and suffering. And so gold, frankincense, and myrrh together at Jesus' birth, and especially myrrh at Jesus' death, points to another great rescue. Not just of the nation of Israel, but the great rescue of all people. By Jesus, God with us. Friends, so Jesus steps into our world as King and Savior and enters our suffering of sin and death and takes it on himself for us at the cross. And then 3 days later, he's raised in victory, overcoming sin and death, to now rule over all things with love as the true King. Now, as we have today, but as we always do at Christmas, we focus a lot on gifts. It's part of the joy of celebrating with family and friends, along with food and decorations. Some don't last. But it can also be a very difficult time for many. The first Christmas without a loved one can stir up grief again. And so we think of Harold and Owen and their families today. The ongoing struggle with suffering and struggle of suffering of illness can dampen joy. We witnessed President Zelensky of the Ukraine standing in the US House of Congress this week, talking about Christmas in his own country, devastated by war, where there's no heating, there's no electricity, there's no running water. And so for many, the gift they really want, that we all really need, is hope. And friends, this is why Jesus is the greatest gift you'll ever receive. For the wise man's gift of gold fit for a king points to Jesus as the king who brings the loving rule that brings peace with God, peace now and everlasting peace that cannot truly be found anywhere else in the world. You know, frankincense is a well-chosen gift, for it's the aroma of the joy of salvation that Jesus offers us through his sacrificial death on the cross. And not just God with us, but we can now be with God. Sin that separates us from God is dealt with once for all. And friends, there is no greater joy than that. And myrrh. As Jesus anointed as the Holy One, Jesus suffers and dies for us and is raised from the dead to bring hope. It brings hope that our suffering, our struggles are not what the future holds for us. Rather, our future is marked out by a sure and certain hope of life eternal with God, where there is no suffering, where there is no pain, where there is no sin, where there is no death, no tears, but real hope. And friends, all that is caught up in these gifts, these questionable gifts. Well, maybe not. Maybe they're wise gifts after all. But the question for all of us this Christmas is, what do you do with this gift of Jesus? Is it just something you look at once a year, or like other gifts that goes in the cupboard or in the bin on Boxing Day? Or is it a gift you will receive and have it change your life forever? No other gift can do that. No other person can do that. Because Jesus is God's gift of his presence in your life now and forever. So my question for us this morning, will you receive Jesus? So I'm inviting you, if you're not already doing this, to come to Jesus this Christmas and receive the greatest gift of Jesus himself. Not a questionable gift, not a re-gift, but the gift of everlasting peace, joy, and hope. Friends, I'm going to pray for us this morning. For us, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your gift, I'd like you to pray with me this morning as well. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. Father, we thank you that in sending Jesus as a baby who grew and lived, God with us, the Holy God, that through his life and then through his death and then his glorious victory over sin and death, that we may find peace, joy, and hope. And so, Father, we know those things come when we acknowledge that we have sinned against you, that we have rejected you. And so far as we think about that now, having rejected you, Father, forgive us if we come and say sorry. And Father, you're faithful that as we do say sorry for our sin, you forgive us and you grant us new life, everlasting life, and that you come and dwell in us and you change our life now and forevermore. Father, help us this morning to receive Jesus, the greatest gift, so that we may all know peace, joy, and hope, now and forevermore. Amen.